broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Showing us he can hit.
Bregman drives one deep to left field and gone! Astros with their first lead of the night. Alex Bregman connects on a two-run home run. As he hits one into the Crawford boxes at 6-4 Astros.
Great call by Todd Callis. Great home run. We love a little Breggy Bomb action as the Astros beat the Royals 9-7 last night. The Stros, 8th straight win, and they are rolling.
Right, and I know a lot of people are talking about Jordan Alvarez this morning, and we will talk about him again in a little bit because he was fantastic last night.
MVP.
Home run, an outfield assist. But, man, to see what Alex Bregman did last night, Vanessa, does get me a little frisky because...
Ooh. Oh, BMAC.
Oh, whoa. Yeah. I mean, look, sometimes... Oh, wow. Is that a new drop? I like it. Sometimes some of the things that you see out on a sports field might give you, I don't know, pants tent or something like that. All I'm saying is Alex Bregman with a double, a clutch home run, which you just heard last night, a 3-for-5 night, building off of a, I guess, 15-game stretch where his OPS is over 1,000, where he has been hitting for contact, to see him have a night where he had two hits of power, a double and a home run. That gets me excited because that's the Bregman that I miss. That's the Bregman that we all remember from before the injury last year.
He was excellent, and it's good to see him in that rhythm. I'm not going to sit here and say that I think he's back, fully back to what he was, but it's good to see him have a couple of consecutive games over a course of a couple of weeks where he's able to put some things together.
If he is back like that, they will be the Yankees in the playoffs.
100%.
He is like that, playing at that level, getting into the old cocky Alex Bregman that we remember, who after a home run walks up to the camera with that stare of his. if that is the Alex Bregman that we have back for the final stretch of the year, and assuming he can stay healthy, because that has been an issue over the last couple of seasons, I do not see how the Yankees can beat him. Because, I mean, right now, I mean, what you saw with the last couple of games where the Astros did play the Yankees, it's not like Bregman was tearing the cover off the ball, but he was serviceable in those games. But if Bregman can do what he did last night on a more regular basis, and I'm just asking, you know, once a week maybe is too much to ask for a game where you have two extra base hits, but I feel like he's capable of that. We saw that at the beginning of the year, he can get back to that level. And if he gets back to that level, again, I feel very confident in the Astros' chances the rest of the way. Everyone should. It's been, I think, really the thing that has been missing to this point of the year. It has been Alex Bregman at a level that we expect. Yuli Gurriel, probably not returning to what we saw from him last year, but this kind of Bregman is big. So I was very excited to see Bregman do what he did last night.
Yordan Alvarez also had a hell of a night, not only an insane home run, but a throw. He threw a ball 273 feet, 93.5 miles an hour to Martin Maldonado. This is what it sounded like.
Sends this one into left field. Yordan Alvarez will back up a step or two. Tagging at third base is Dozier. The throw by Alvarez is in time. He made an incredible throw.
So this is one of those throws to where it didn't look as good on the internet as it did in person. When you see it made, it looks fast when you see the video, but in the ballpark was just surreal.
Yeah, and you had one really great shot of it from, I want to say, the left field foul pole.
That was the one where you could at least get like a little bit of a glimpse of how good it was.
Because, yeah, I mean, it's...
The wide shot didn't do it justice.
He one-hopped that. He's got a hell of an arm back there, and... Look, not ideal to have in left field, but neither was Manny Ramirez for the Boston Red Sox back in the early 2000s. If you're the best hitter in baseball, which at times Manny Ramirez was, doesn't really matter if you're a goofball out in left field. But Alvarez hasn't been. Alvarez has been serviceable. I think he is slowly improving out there. I'm not going to say he has the most range, but do you need a ton of range in left field? If you're a Houston Astro, you're talking about a ballpark that is very... very favorable for guys out there in left field. You don't need to have a ton of range with the way that the Crawford boxes are set up. Assuming you have a center fielder with respectable range, anything that gets hit to that left center weird gap where things kind of dip back, you should be okay. So I'm not advocating putting Alvarez out there all the time, but this is not a guy that you are going to need to take out of the lineup because of defensive issues, ever.
It's good to see the national bros from Barstool Sports who've spent the last 2 years complaining about the cheating scandal. He's a good writer, Chris Castellini. Wrote an article called "The Astros Are Inevitable," and it pretty much says everything that the article sounds like. Surely, you know, I thought perhaps this was the year they'd take a step back. They'd lost Correa, they'd lost Cole, and come on, they couldn't be good forever, right? Yeah, I was wrong. We saw this with the New York newspapers last week, too, where they just basically said the Astros are here to stay despite what our fans may say about the cheating scandal. So the national attention is already happening, and it is good to see, like I said, some of the broskies come around to
it. The broskies.
The Astros, known as bad boys in the MLB. Texans not exactly known as bad boys in the NFL.
No, they're kind of
the opposite, actually. Yeah. It is the choir church boy. Not that I don't love a good church boy.
I don't know. I don't know, Paul. If I knew, I'd definitely have the answer.
Shout out to OB, man. Keep running that Alabama offense.
My old guy.
You brought up a good question. You brought up a good point. I had not seen this. It's on Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
But that the Texans may actually have a little bad boy in them as far as they're making the rest of the league mad. Explain.
They are. So I like this. If you are an organization that nobody wants to play for, that has all of these issues with Jack Easterby, who I heard rumored by John McClain could be out.
Oh, we'll get to it. And we want you guys' opinion, by the way. Sorry, text in the show. Do you think Easterby's out at the end of the year, like John McClain says he thinks? Continue.
And he just said it was an opinion. But again, the Texans have an image problem, no doubt about it. And it's going to take a while to shake it. They just fired a head coach after one season, regardless of whether or not the guy was competent at his job. What we saw on a Sunday-to-Sunday basis is not what the rest of America saw. So there is a perception problem with the Texans. I think Nick Caserio has done a really good job thus far. I really do. The Watson trade looks fantastic. Who knows what's going to happen with these draft picks. I like, though, that they went with Stingley Jr. with the third overall pick. But here's what the Texans are doing. They are giving players more money on their rookie deals than other teams have. Now, the first thing that we saw was with Dameon Pierce, the running back for the Texans, who I would imagine will be the bell cow for the Texans this season, just given the depth chart that they have. They gave him $25,000 more in his signing bonus than anybody else got that was picked around the same time. I mean, that's noticeable. And then when you add this in, where Jalen Pitre, who the Texans are looking at as a possible nickel corner, Jalen Pitre is getting the first 3 years of his contract guaranteed. So all 3 years are going to be guaranteed. And you might think to yourself, well, aren't all contracts for a rookie kind of guaranteed? No, that's actually not the case. Basically, the first 2 years, yes, they are guaranteed. But the third year is where things get a little bit dicey, where, say, a player sucks, they can pull the plug. If you compare what Jalen Pitre is making compared to some of the other players of years past, Pitre is getting 100% of that third-year salary. Other players were getting like 60% guaranteed, 70%. Guaranteed. And teams across the league are annoyed by this. They are very annoyed by it. But it's good because that means the Texans are rewarding young players despite not having played. I think that makes them more favorable in the eyes of agents across the NFL who are going to be maybe thinking to themselves, oh, wow, they give pretty team-friendly deals. This is good. I didn't expect it to come from the Houston Texans of all teams, but if they're doing a little extra something-something to make up for the fact that they suck, it's like the loser tax, essentially, then that's good. That's how you change the narrative about you as an organization.
I also am like, is it bad that I just want the Texans to not be liked for something? I mean, genuinely, like, yes. I don't want it to be like, oh, the Texans, or oh, the Texans. I want it to be like, oh, you know what? I don't like that the Texans do this. This messes us up. This messes up the league. I want there to be something with the Texans other than just that they're sad, pathetic, and that they have no chance of winning the AFC South for 3 years.
You're in a situation where you can do stuff like this. You don't have anyone that's locked up to a long degree. I mean, if you take a look at the Texans' salary cap, I think like 2 to 3 years from now, like there's no one on the books outside of like the rookies that they've drafted the last 2 years. Like that's it, and they will have like I think close to 150 million plus in salary cap space. Now things can change obviously between now and then, but they don't have a ton of money locked up to anybody where this is potentially going to affect him. And we're talking really chump change here, too, ultimately.
When you compare to the salary cap and all of that. The other thing that they did that I think helped that is getting Lovie Smith as head coach. despite what you may think of him as how he did at Tampa, how he did at Illinois, people do want to play for Lovie Smith. People do respect Lovie Smith. The young players do. So I think that that's helped the Texans as well. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant. Speaking of Lovie Smith, he's ranked last in a certain article on coaches. Do you agree or not? But first, Paul's going to tell you about PIN.
The Passive Investor Network, baby. I know you guys are looking at your wallets right now. You're thinking to yourself, man, I could really use some extra bucks. Maybe now, maybe down the road. The Passive Investor Network, they are a real estate investment company. And they work with you, personalized for you, to help you make money through real estate down the road. How do they do it? Well, they go around the city of Houston and they look for neighborhoods that they feel can be turned around and turned into something really special. Obviously, it doesn't happen overnight, but they get you in on the ground floor with properties that can be rented out to people, with properties that you will have a real stake in and you can throw down the road as maybe, I don't know, a little extra something, something for a college fund or something like that. The Passive Investor Network goes on a bus tour a couple of times a year, and on this bus tour, they will show you some of the properties that they see, that they fix up, and that on top of that, that they will turn into, I don't know, really, really nice looking properties. There's one place in particular that I saw, and I remember seeing the place next door to it, and I was like, how did this become this so quickly? That's what the Passive Investor Network can do for you. PassiveInvestor.net is where you go. The bus tour, you can go for free. Promo code ESPN. It is Passive Investor Network, PassiveInvestor.net.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Sports. ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we are rolling along on a Wednesday, and we will get to our Wine Wednesday segment in just a little bit. But we were talking about Lovie Smith in the last segment a little bit, and what other people think of Lovie Smith. I know a lot of players respect him. Obviously, a lot of coaches respect him. According to CBS Sports and their 2022 NFL head coach rankings, Lovie Smith is ranked last.
Mm.
Now, when I first saw this, I was a little offended on behalf of Lovie because I think it's total BS. When I read the article, it's based on two questions. Who do we trust the most, and who is best positioned to succeed? Now, if it's just who is best positioned to succeed, certainly I think Lovie Smith could be, you know, in the bottom half. But who do we trust the most? I mean, this is his third go-around as a head coach. This is not, as he said in his press conference, not his first rodeo, not his second rodeo.
Maybe that's why,
his third rodeo.
Maybe that's why, because it's his third rodeo, there's an assumption of, okay, I mean, we've seen the best out of Lovie. He's now
I stan Lovie Smith, as the kids say. I stan him more than the average. You think he's better than Matt Eberflus, Dan Campbell, who hasn't proven anything, Arthur Smith from the Falcons? You think Lovie Smith is worse than them?
I don't. All I'm saying is this is probably what they are thinking. But you are right in that. Everyone loves Dan Campbell because Dan Campbell says phony quotes. But when Dan Campbell was interim head coach with Miami, he didn't do very well. And thus far, yes, with a roster that's not very good, Dan Campbell has not done a whole lot in Detroit. Maybe that changes next year. It'll be an interesting season of Hard Knocks, I hope. I'm not sure if I'm going to watch it just because I've been kind of out on the show since they didn't do anything with the Antonio Brown saga. Whatever.
Yeah, the NFL edits it too much.
I agree. The one that I'm shocked by, I mean, how the hell is Matt Rhule not 32? If we're going to get outraged about anything, I cannot understand how Matt Rhule, supposed offensive mastermind who just blew out his offensive coordinator, who clearly feels that Sam Darnold, there is something to be unlocked with him, how can you feel like Matt Rhule is going to get anything done there? Rhule has, I think, proven that he is a failure in the NFL. The fact that he got this year is pretty surprising. The fact that the Panthers gave him the ridiculous deal that they gave him coming out of college, coming out of Baylor, also surprising.
And he's basically, the owner, by the way, has admitted that that was not a good idea.
Right.
Which is incredibly awkward.
Yes, it is. And because of that, there's a good chance Matt Rhule's gone after the first couple of games. I feel like there's zero chance of that happening with Lovie Smith. let's just talk about availability. If you think a coach could potentially be fired early on in the season, that guy should be dead last. And yeah, Matt Rhule has to be 32. I guess we're really, you know, having a who's got the biggest of their of the small Schmenzer's club. You know, like this is a conversation that's like, wow, we're measuring this.
I don't even think Lovie Smith is in the bottom five.
Not even in the bottom five.
Okay. I think that's total BS. Who? Matt Rhule, Dan Campbell,
okay.
Arthur Smith.
In Atlanta.
Arthur Smith in Atlanta.
He's kind of screwed in that.
What do we know about Dennis Allen? I don't know.
His name is Dennis, and his last name is Allen. Facts, people. He did coach before at like, well, check that. He has been part of that organization for a really, really long time. So maybe there's a degree of continuity that's expected with him, right?
I just think that it's BS that Lovie Smith is 32nd. I mean, I you could maybe argue bottom five, but bottom three is insane. I'll read you who is the top. CBS ranks Andy Reid as the coach that they trust the most slash in the best situation, number one. Number two, Sean McVay, which I know you love. And number three, Bill Belichick. What are your thoughts on that?
Dude, that's unbelievable. Whatever. I mean, what can I say? He won the Super Bowl. But my God, they got so damn lucky in every single one of those games, overcoming decisions that he made that weren't smart. They did. Every single week of the playoffs, they did. But okay, fine.
Do you agree that Lovie Smith is in the worst situation and cannot be trusted more than any other coach in the NFL? Somebody on the Twitch line said he's only picked 32nd because most media has the Texans finishing dead last. But that's not what the article is about. That's what gets me. If you want to talk about the team that's in the worst, the team with the worst roster, if you want to talk about the coach specifically in a really bad situation, I actually probably wouldn't even put Lovie Smith last there either, because I think Davis Mills has shown potential. But to have him as in a coaching ranked 32nd, I know
it's
Dan
good,
Campbell has fun press conferences. I get that you think
about kneecaps.
I mean, you're going to bite the kneecaps. Just freaking weird. But 32nd is disrespectful.
Not smart. You know, I think big orthodontia should step in, because biting a kneecap would probably result in teeth damage. Well, think about it from this perspective. Do you want flowers sent the Texans' way right now?
No flowers, but at least not 32nd. That's insane.
You know what? I'm okay with
Paul's
everyone.
Paul's a chip on your shoulder guy.
Yeah. I'm good. Yeah. I'm good with further reminders to everyone in that locker room, to everyone on that coaching staff, that everyone thinks you're a joke.
Yeah.
Because that's good. That is good. You will be motivated through that. It would be one thing if everyone was of the belief, oh, the Texans are on the rise or something like that. That is when you start sniffing the smell of your own farts. You know, that is not good.
You guys could just see the visual of what I just had to see.
Put it in a wine glass. There's an episode of South Park where they did
this
that.
This is, speaking of wine glass, it is time for our Wine Wednesday segment.
It's Wine Wednesday.
It's the Wine and Cheese Club, gorgeous, where we all get together and vent about what annoys us at work.
On Vanessa and Gallant.
What's your Wednesday wine?
Wine.
Paul, what is your Wine Wednesday?
Well, it's a matter of semantics. So, when I flew back from Puerto Rico, I had a bag that I had added some stuff to, because when you're away for 11 days and you go to a wedding, get goodie bags on the way out and stuff. So when I checked into the airport, my bag at first weighed like 47 pounds.
Oh no.
Bags are supposed to be less than 50 pounds. So I got to the airport in Puerto Rico and my bag weighed 52 pounds when I weighed in. So they said, hey, you have to take some stuff out of the bag. I don't understand that, because I would have to pay $100 extra otherwise to just leave everything in the bag. And I'm like, we're talking about 2 pounds here. And it's early in the morning and I was a little cranky. So I thought to myself,
cranky Paul.
But what bothers me is, okay, why the need for the extra $100 for just 2 extra pounds?
Oh, it would have been 100?
No. It would have been, $100 to upgrade to 52 pounds.
That's insane.
Which I'm like, okay, I get it. You're trying to nickel and dime people to death. There are some lazy people who are going to be like, no, I don't want to do it. But I'm just thinking to myself, okay, the weight is still going on the plane. It's just not going to go underneath the plane where all the bags are stored. It is going to go in my carry-on bag. What is the difference? The plane is still being weighted down equally. Now it's in a different bag. Oh, that makes it easier to fly? Some nickel and dime BS, and all these airliners who are getting bailed out by the government.
Yeah.
are just completely you-know-whatting you.
We're in this together,
screwing you over.
Say.
Yeah, exactly. And the guy's like, I remember saying, it's $100 for 2 pounds. Are you serious? And the guy said to me, like, well, you don't have to. You can just pay the $100. And I was like, no, it's the matter. It's a principle. And you guys all know, I sweat the small stuff. Literal small stuff. It's 2 pounds. What are you talking about? This is crazy.
I feel like when you get to the point of saying it's the principle, you've already lost the argument.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're not going to change anyone's mind at that point.
But it is the principle. The principle's so stupid. It's 2 pounds. Okay, 2 pounds? Let's have a sliding scale here. If it weighed 100 pounds, I would get it. If it weighed 75 pounds, I would get it. It was 2 pounds over. The 2 pounds still went on the plane. The gasoline that was carrying the plane from Puerto Rico to Miami, it was carrying the same amount of bleeping weight. What are you doing? What are you talking about?
I kind of feel like this is a clever way for you to show that you can lift 50-pound bags no problem.
Yeah.
You're kind of flexing on them. Like, oh, this 52-pound bag, no problem at all.
Dumb. Couple of people. Come on, you could have mailed that. Sorry you didn't plan. What, you're going to mail something from Puerto Rico? What are you talking about? You're crazy if you think that that's going to work because he has to go to Miami. That would take, seriously, I'm not kidding. That would take probably like 4 to 5 weeks. Plan ahead? Shut up. Paul said, anyway, you know what? I'm just going to stop because I could go all day on this. This is so stupid. That is just so stupid. It was 2 pounds. It still went on the plane. Someone said weight redistribution. Oh, because 2 pounds are going to affect a 1,000-pound machine. What, 100,000-pound machine that's flying through the sky? Good God. Anyway, I'm sorry.
My wine Wednesday is that it's expensive and difficult in America to be a good person. Allow me to explain. I have a couch that I would like to get rid of. I would like to donate it. It's not in good enough condition to sell for a lot of money, so there's really no use in me selling it. And honestly, like, it's not about the tax write-off. I would like to donate it to a women's shelter or Salvation Army or Goodwill, whatever. So I call these places and I say, hey, I just need somebody to pick up the couch. And every single place says, well, we can't come in your apartment. We have to pick it up on the curbside. And it has to be wrapped in plastic. And it has to be clean. And it has to blah, blah, blah. I just want to give a couch to a women's shelter or something like that. I want two large men to come in my apartment.
What you really want.
That's getting close.
I want them to move the couch because I don't live with anybody because I'm single. So I can't get the couch down to the curb myself. And also, even if I got it down there, why do I need to saran wrap it? Come pick it up. Let me do the little tax write-off. Or you know what? I don't need the tax write-off. I'm just trying to help people with the couch that's less than 7 years old, still in pretty good condition. It's very comfortable. I just want to be a good person. But these places make it so damn hard to donate or to do anything like that. It should be easy. Come pick it up. I will donate it to you. The easier thing to do in America is to be a bad person and just to dump the couch or to throw it out. And you know what? I don't want to do that. So now I'm going to have to pay movers. And I'll do it. I'll pay you or whatever to move it to the Salvation Army or Goodwill or whatever. And it's going to cost me money to be a good person. It should not
sell it online.
Money.
Go back to selling it online. I sold a couch once that wasn't in very good shape. I got like $75 for it.
But do people come pick it up?
Yeah, I said, hey, you got to pick it up. Just say, listen, you got to pick it up. It's a cheap couch. Take it.
Okay, I may do that.
Yeah, just do that.
But I wanted to give it to a while, women's though. Shelter.
Hey, listen, that's fine. You know what? Like, that's cool that you wanted to do that. They do make things a little bit more
but
difficult than they need to be.
But they make it so difficult.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm on the arm. I'm on the phone with Helping Arms or Helping Hands or Arms of Hope or whatever, and it's like, you must do this. Come pick up my couch.
There are certain things that I think as a volunteer that a lot of people are like, oh, do I want to lift a 100-pound couch and like bring it down a flight of stairs and then wrap it up and then put it in a moving van and then travel
yes,
over?
Okay, yes, you do have to.
Yeah.
For the women and the children.
That's true.
BMAC, what is yours?
I'll make it quick, but So I threw out my back on Saturday.
And
I'm not even whining about getting old and throwing out my back. What I'm whining about is the inevitable conversation when you tell someone that you threw out the back. Like, oh, what happened? If I had a cool story about how I threw my back out, if I saved orphans from a burning building, I would tell you.
Yeah.
If I'm not offering the information, it's because it was in the most mundane way, twisting while I put up a balloon for my daughter's birthday party. Mm. So don't ask.
Blow up a balloon?
Yeah.
No, it was bad. If someone doesn't volunteer the information of how they got hurt,
right.
Because their story sucks, don't ask them.
Okay, what have you been doing to remedy the back problem?
Well, I went to like an urgent care that night,
and
I've got a chiropractor's appointment actually in a couple hours. But it's still pretty rough. But again, if they don't offer the story, it's because it wasn't cool. Don't ask them.
Yeah, that's a great point. We're getting some responses. I can help move your couch. I'll pick up your couch, winky face. You guys are weird. stop.
Yeah, that was ineffable.
We,
by the way, Vanessa, we've discussed this. We're gonna need to do a creepy comment segment.
Oh yeah,
we have to. Some of the stuff that she gets, I mean, you laugh at all of it. I do not know how you have the patience.
I do. I send it in the group chat so you and Sean can be entertained.
We need to read some of these off, and I wanted to like try to go through the people's brain. Like, what were they thinking when they sent this? Like, did they think this was going to work? Because God. Dang, we are very unsmooth, we men, at times.
Yes. Well, my couch isn't my home, and if you own your home, listen to me. Our friends at TGS Insurance are going to deliver you big savings, and you don't even have to talk to an agent. I know you pay too much for your home insurance, but you probably don't shop for more because it's a hassle. But it doesn't have to be anymore, thanks to TGS. So they have this new system, and it instantly shops over 36 carriers, and it's not complicated. You don't fill out a form. You just send back one text. Here's what you do. Get out your phone, text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system asks for your address, you send it back, and you get that full quote within 15 seconds. And this is a legit company, by the way. Their average customer from last year saves over $870 on home insurance. You could do a lot with that money. You could buy a lot of good couches with that money. So no one likes to shop for home insurance, but TGS makes it the easiest it's ever been. One more time, text money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
I want two large men to come in my apartment.
That's what you really want.
We were talking about my couch in the last segment, which...
I thought you were talking about the two large men.
Yeah.
Burly?
Yeah.
They both look like Jason Momoa.
Okay. I want two large men to come in my apartment.
What you really want.
If they looked like Jason Momoa, they could definitely come in my apartment. Hello. All right, we're rolling along on a Wednesday.
Don't make me laugh. My kidneys hurt.
They talk about the Texans a lot on the flagship.
Yeah, they do.
Where
Paul I remember.
Used to work, where I've used to fill in.
Honestly, every single time that we've talked, I've been trying to think of ways to bring it back to the Texans and then think to myself, you don't have to do this anymore, Paul.
We are an NFL branded show, but we try to venture out as well. All right, John McClain, local legend, retired from the Houston Chronicle, but still makes appearances on the flagship, said the other day that he thinks, it's his opinion, that Jack Easterby will be gone from the Texans after this season.
Yeah.
This caused a lot of talks on the internet. There were a couple of articles written about it here locally. What say you? What do you guys think? And obviously, we want your opinion on the text line 713-780-ESPN, or you can get at us on Twitch. Do you think that that's plausible? Because Jack has, and regardless of your opinion, like, I've had nice interactions with Jack, whatever, but he has survived and been able to stay there through a lot of different accusations of power manipulation, etc. The situation with Deshaun.
Resume fit. Doctor.
Yeah, all that good stuff. Do you think that that's possible, that he is gone after this year?
Well, my big question is, how much power, how much say does he really have anymore? And I remember a conversation that John and Lance were having a couple of weeks ago, where Lance was talking about how the power structure in Houston is a lot more in Caserio's hands now than it is in Easterby's. To the point where, I don't know if it's completely out of Easterby's hands. It does seem, and I remember Lance saying this, like, yeah, McCown was the guy until he wasn't. And McCown had to have been hand-chosen by Easterby. There's no other way to look at it. I don't know why Nick Caserio, a guy who was with New England for 20 years, would look at Josh McCown, who has never coached, and say, yeah, I want to tie my new regime to this guy. No way. Hell no. Especially after like having tied it to Cully. I wonder how enthused Caserio even was with that hire when they made it. So I think that it's possible. I guess, though, that it's more likely that he would be just not involved with as many things as possible anymore. I'm trying to think of the reason that Cal McNair would decide to part ways with him, Vanessa, I guess. And I can't really think of one, especially if it seems like he's taken a bit of a back seat.
I already think that his responsibilities have been lessened. And I think that they've been delegated to things that are more within his skill set, which, look, I mean, he was a pastor. He was with NFL teams. He was with, you know, or an NFL team. He had been, I believe, with South Carolina. I agree with Lance. I don't think Nick Caserio is going to put up with anybody getting in the way of his success. I think he's too type A. And I say his success as if he's selfish. I think he obviously wants to do a good job of GM, but wants to build a successful product in Houston. I will say this, regardless of what line of work you work in, I don't care if it's restaurants, I don't care if it's sports, I don't care if you work in insurance, the most important person's ear and trust to have is the person that owns whatever company you work for, whatever hospital you work at, et cetera.
Yeah, that's why it's key, Jack, that David Gow threw 5 touchdown passes to me one time.
Absolutely.
That's why I'm here.
That was job security.
It's not my talent.
With all seriousness, Jack Easterby has the person's ear and trust that matters the most, which is Cal McNair. So I don't see, and look, John McClain said that this was his opinion, that it wasn't necessarily a report. My opinion is a little bit different because of the person that Jack Easterby, because the fact that Cal trusts him.
I also don't think that McClain was as in the loop as he had been in years past. I think.
I see what you did there. In the loop.
Unintentional. In years past, I was of the belief, that's funny though. Now I can't get over that. I should have said like, yeah, nailed it. No, didn't. Anyway, back in time. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah. The Texans, they're a football team. No, seriously, where was I? That was great. Sorry.
I was talking about Jack Easterby having Cal McNair's trust, which is the most important thing.
Okay, yeah. Look, I don't think McClain's as connected as he used to be. Nothing wrong with that. I just think they're it's a lot tighter of a ship these days. And
well, he was close with Bob McNair, who passed away.
Right. And look, that doesn't mean that he's not close with Cal McNair either, but I don't know that. I mean, based off of just the kind of avoidance that the Texans have made whenever the guy's been brought up at all, but still keeping him around, like there would have to be some sort of like betrayal or something, I feel like, for things to get to the point where they just completely kick him out of the organization. It does feel like, for whatever reason, Cal trusts Jack Easterby, and I feel like while he might not be involved in the football operations at all anymore, there's definitely a role that McNair would probably try to find for him in the team if he has a good relationship. Because look, I mean, if Easterby's a guy who's based in faith, and maybe that's what their relationship is about, you know? And look, who am I to shun somebody for, you know, feeling that way about somebody else? Maybe they feel like he actually is a good culture influence in this organization. And honestly, maybe it is in a certain way actually true. I have a hard time believing it.
I don't think it was in years past. I think now,
yeah,
if his job is legitimately what it seems to be, which I don't even know how you would describe it, player engagement, picking players up from the airport like he did Malcolm Butler when he told that story. You never know. My whole thing with Jack Easterby from the beginning has been that his job requirements should fit his skill set. And I do think he has skills. So will he be out at the end of the year like John McClain thinks he will be? I don't know. We'll see. We also were talking about an article on CBS. BMAC, I believe you brought this up possibly, predicting the 2022 MVPs for each AFC team. The NFC isn't nearly as sexy or difficult as these AFC teams, but it's no shock that the predicted MVP for each team when it came to the Houston Texans was Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, I don't know who else you can even point to, unless you think that one of the rookies is going to be a complete game changer. And I think with Derek Stingley having dealt with some injuries over the last couple of years, it's hard to imagine that. And I would just say, from an offensive perspective, I mean, Cooks was the most reliable player on the team last year. So, I mean, if you're trying to think of somebody else, like really, who is even in the same tier?
I mean, the hopeful pick would be Davis Mills.
If
Cooks has a great year, hopefully that's because Davis Mills, full season starter, now not having to split with Tyrod. Maybe that's because he also had a good year.
It's hard to believe that'll actually take place, BMAC, but I do agree.
I'm not betting on it. I'm just saying that would be the other option. I think that's really the only other option you could pick.
Yeah, like the only one. Yeah, the only one where, hey, it's long odds. If we're going to play from a gambling perspective, this is the fun
Nico,
one.
None of us believe Nico's going to do it. John Metchie's not going to be ready to play. The running back reps are going to be split between like 3-4 different guys. So it's really Davis Mills.
And Brevin Jordan isn't Gronk.
Right.
Not yet.
I can't. Yeah, that's fair. I can't think of a pass rusher. Like, I'm not looking at Jerry Hughes to all of a sudden find the fountain of youth. Linebacker, eh. I mean, shoot. I mean, the only other recognizable guy on this team for a time was, and now he's with the Kansas City Chiefs, Justin Reed. Laramie Tunsil. Was it Laramie Tunsil? I mean, if he's out there, that's neat, but is he going to provide that much of a difference to this offensive
line? It's fascinating. They have the Amari Cooper for the Cleveland Browns as being the MVP for
that's optimistic.
For that. That is optimistic, and optimistic. I think it goes back to what we've talked about with Deshaun Watson. I think most people are assuming that he won't play this year.
Yeah.
We shall see. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, let's put a bow on it, shall we? A certain structure caught on fire. I think it's very symbolic. Plus, our garbage time segment. That's next.
But first, I got to tell you about my friends at the Passive Investor Network. Look, we all want money. One of the ways we can get money, get this, it's by looking at real estate. Because prices keep going up and up and up, along with gas prices. That's fun. Hey, let's talk about the Passive Investor Network instead of that, though. Because these guys will sit down with you and put together a five-year plan to help you and your family get real wealth through real estate. How do they do it? Well, they look around town for parts of town that they think are on the rise, and they will invest, and they will rehabilitate. That is for damn sure. You see some of the places that they have taken over, and that they have transformed. You'll be blown away. They do a fantastic job from the top down, especially Ronnie, who's fantastic. You got to meet him. And you can meet him on the bus tour, the Passive Investor Network bus tour, which takes place very often. Passiveinvestor.net is where you go. You can sign up with promo code ESPN to get on it for free. And then afterwards, you sit down with the gang, and they'll tell you over a five-year plan how you can accrue real wealth through real estate. It's passiveinvestor.net. Promo code ESPN, the Passive Investor Network.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
I believe it's the Catholics that put out smoke signals when they have a new president, right? Or
that's
Pope
true.
Or something?
Yeah.
Pope?
Yeah.
There
Popos.
Was a,
there got was a new Popo.
Popo. There was a smoke signal coming from RFK Stadium.
Ooh.
And I thought maybe this meant that Dan Snyder was going to accept the subpoena from his yacht, but it did not. It just
it's crazy
turns
that he decided he got a yacht.
That there were some fires extinguished at RFK. Now, obviously, the Washington football team hasn't played there in a while. But to me, this was funny. It was very symbolic when you look at everything.
How have they not demolished that? Like, do they have their own Ed Emmett who's randomly... Ed Emmett, for those who don't know, is a Harris County judge who was obsessed with saving the Astrodome and turning it into now a historic site, even though it's overrun with rats, bats, cats, which is cool, and asbestos, which is a little less cool.
How long has it been since they've played there?
Well, the Astrodome... I
1999.
No. RFK.
Oh, okay.
RFK, I think, it was 96. I think that's when they moved into FedEx Field.
Yeah, why is that still there?
And that's when they moved into FedEx Field. They became the most valuable franchise, I think, in the NFL. And they were that for a while. And then, you know, Daniel Snyder, and the organization has slowly faded away from being in the 1980s and 1990s awesome under Joe Gibbs to being not very good. And, you know, going back to some of the same old problems that they had way back in the day. Like, back in like the 30s and 40s, like they were known as like... That was the racist team back then. Like, you know, like when things were not good, everyone was like,
not
yeah,
great, Bob.
They're the most racist. And it was like, whoa, okay. And things haven't exactly changed with the nickname until recently. And of course, with Daniel Snyder running things, I don't know if it's necessarily racism as much as just, I don't know.
Sexual harassment.
Yeah, I was
lying
gonna use another
about
word.
Books.
That's a better one.
Money. Regardless of where the Commanders end up, says Front Office Sports. RFK Stadium is expected to be demolished. This was an article just from a couple months ago. Proposal of $60 million to build new recreation center. Whoever is the head of this future recreation center probably just said, burn it down. We're tired of waiting.
I honestly, just get rid of it, right? Like, you got all these relics around. There's no one playing in it. I say this about the Astrodome all the time. Who the hell wants to go to a convention that's there that, by the way, has not the construction for said convention center has still not started, even though in 2019 it was announced? So what's the point?
So does it just sit empty?
It's just there. Yeah. But it's going to be a convention center someday. Woohoo! Yeah, I can't wait for our taxpayers' dollars to go to that, because it surely won't cost three times the initial price to make it into a convention center in a part of town that, let's be honest, it's not exactly that great, right? I mean, it's fun when the rodeo's going on, but, like, I'm sorry. I'm not going out of my way to go, like, down 610 all the way down to the Texan Stadium. I'm just not. You know, I'd much rather go to the George R. Brown Center in that area. That area is cool. I like that part of town. Not the biggest fan of the South Loop, I guess, is where
Paul Gallant for mayor.
Yep.
All right, now it's time for our segment, Hater, which we call Garbage Time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage Time.
It's garbage.
It starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
I hate people that can't have fun, and that's what's happening. The Bridge Bakehouse learned that it may have caused offense and is receiving letters of complaint because they named a sandwich Jesus Christ. C-H-E-E-S-U-S Christ. I think it's hilarious.
Well, here's the problem, and I used to have an issue with this on the air, and I know I from time to time still do, but that's a word that I just throw out casually. And I know some people are like, whatever. In the Northeast, that is said very often. I know for other people, it is like, whoa, dude, what are you doing? I am not as religious as I once was. I should probably say what my British uncle says all the time, for the love of Pete, which is fantastic. I don't know who Pete is.
My favorite is Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
Okay.
And I am religious. But, but come on.
My grandfather used to do Jesus H. Murphy.
What?
I don't know how that one works.
The letter read from Mad Christians, quote, although our clients would prefer to settle this matter outside of court, there's clearly a case here. Our clients do not wish to take this further, but feel they will need to in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, if action is not taken.
You know what?
I love Jesus. I'm spiritual, but guess what? Not everybody needs to bow down to your beliefs, so calm down.
But the Lord's going to come back and to stand up for this sandwich. He's like, listen, guys, I mean, it's pretty funny, am I right? And then it'll go back
Plus,
up.
Plus, it's kind of tasty, guys. Let's look this one through.
Yeah.
It's a cheese. Clearly, the sandwich involves some sort of cheese.
Also, you know, let's be honest about old Jesus. But, like, you know, back in the day, like, okay, here's a bunch of fish and loaves for people. He would have been blown away by the idea of, like,
a
meatball sub. He'd be like, whoa, what is this? It's the bomb. Jesus H. Murphy, guys, this is great. And it's called Jesus Christ. It's hilarious. Come on, lighten up.
I like it. 9528, by the way, says the reason the Astrodome is still standing like a giant rust bucket is because Bleeding Hearts just can't let go of the past.
Ed Emmett, yes. It's funny. Like, we voted to demolish it. No, not so fast. Your vote doesn't matter. Thanks, Ed. Appreciate it.
As long as people can make use of it, I think that they should try to
preserve it. No, don't. You can't make use of it, Vanessa. What are you going to do in there?
Refurbish it.
Yes. And how much is that going to cost?
I don't know. Probably
too
a lot
much.
Of money.
Too much. It'll be... As always, any construction project, it turns into a giant waste of money.
It
every
does.
Single time, without fail.
And people get over it like they did, like the Hoosier Dome in Indy. Like, people eventually are like, yeah, it's the right move.
I mean, look, if it still looked awesome, great. But, like, right next to NRG Stadium, which is far from a beautiful stadium, it looks like a wart. It does. Like, it's even shaped like a wart. Less pus, so that's nice.
And a Popka police officer was, this is in Florida, of course, was reportedly charged with a DUI after he was pulled over in a marked patrol vehicle on his way back to home. He was pulled over after he was driving recklessly. He had some beer cans in his car. He couldn't keep his balance, and he told his fellow officers he had had, quote, three tall boys before his shift.
Jeez. That's bad. Look, he thought he was above the law, right? I mean, I'm sure he thought when he got pulled over, I'll be fine. Nope.
Three tall boys.
Tall boys are, you know, the best.
Does any good decision follow, I had three tall boys?
Yeah, it's a great point.
Excuse you, B-Mac. There are plenty of delicious tall boys out there. Some people like PBR tall boys. Some people like, I don't know, Lone Star tall boys. I don't know. Some people like Rainier tall boys. Tall boys are great.
You had a lot this weekend. Your Instagram stories were fun.
You know what? No, I'm telling you, though, these Puerto Rican beers, they're tiny. They're like, they're 10-ounce little cans. They're so small, and they make you feel like you're a tank. But I'm not. I think my kidney is, like, trying to leave my body right now. Not even kidding. It's
intense Paul,
pain.
By the way, for those of you that aren't watching on Twitch, if you're listening, Paul throughout the show has just been going, ugh.
Yeah.
And clutching his kidney. And I keep saying, like, are you okay? What's wrong? Are you hungover?
I went to the doctor yesterday, like, actually to get that looked at, too. And they're like, yeah, you're fine. And I was like, I can't just be feeling this in my head. I'm not a hypochondriac. But, we'll see.
Did you pressure them until they gave you answers?
No, I should have. But this was the new primary care provider I got. And they, honestly, they're suspect.
Are they bad?
Yeah, I'm going to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Not very good.
Giant snails that can grow up to the size of a rat have been reported in a town in Florida. The invasive species, native to Africa, carry the parasite rat lungworm, known to cause meningitis in humans. This caused the Florida Department of to put the area in quarantine for the day.
Well, what are these called again?
I don't know what they're called, but they're giant snails.
And
they can grow the size of rats?
There's a picture of it fitting in a adult palm.
They had signs all over the airport in San Juan, Puerto Rico about those snails. I'm not even kidding.
Wait, really?
I swear. Yeah, I was walking around and I just noticed there's like sign like, hey, we got to make sure that these do not get into our country. Because apparently they're like super invasive and they just destroy everything too. And they're massive. Would it taste good as escargot, though? That is a real question. Escargot is great.
Oh, you like snails?
Yeah.
Fancy Paul.
Here's what you do, though. So, and I learned this from my aunt and uncle, because we had it once. I think we had it on Christmas Eve down in Galveston. What you do afterwards, because there's this garlic oil that's afterwards. If you have any bread, dip the bread in that. Oh, my God. So good.
Is it really? Oh, I had so caviar good. For the first time. Caviar fish eggs, right?
Yes, caviar is okay. I'm not the biggest caviar
I had a Super Bowl week in L.A. I felt fancy. And then immediately was like, this is why I am not rich, because I can't eat this crap. What do you think of the snail story, B-Mac? Does it scare you, or are you not going to go to these areas in Florida?
No, it doesn't scare me, but it sounds like a pretty major inconvenience, because they showed in the article like an area that they quarantined off, and you couldn't move any of your plants, you couldn't pick up anything that had soil in it. I mean, I don't think they're restricted from leaving the area, but it does sound like a major pain in the ass.
Do they attack you?
No, they apparently just have no natural predators, so they come in and destroy all the natural habitat.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got to carry that. What was that parasite name? Was it like rat lungworm? That sounds like one of the most horrifying things I've ever heard.
My God, like, that's like Black Death stuff.
Well, it could be a great metal band name, but...
Ooh. Yeah, you know what? I like it. Rat meningitis, yeah.
RG3 says that he's staying ready for a possible return to the
God,
NFL.
Dude, stop. Stop.
I wanted Paul's reaction on this
just
specifically.
Stop. It's over.
B-Mac, what say you? Is it over for Robert Griffin III?
I just hope he comes out with another slogan like he used to every year.
Yeah.
Back on the grind. Something like that.
He's big on the slogan. I can't make fun of him too much because we share the same agent. But yeah, the slogans are definitely a real thing. I actually am going to the NFL too.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, listen, you should be able to do it, right? Like, yeah. Equality, I thought.
Hashtag equality. these guys think it's over for Robert Griffin. It is over for our show. But
wow,
next,
what a transition.
Thank you.
End this.
Who's clapping for me? That's so nice of you.
Not me.
Up
you
next,
are.
We
You're
have
clapping for yourself.
Joel Blank.
After flexing about your
Jeremy
agent.
Jeremy Branham and the Killer Bees from 12 to 3 on ESPN 97.5. Paul, go get your kidneys fixed. Have a good day. Bye.
Peace.
I want two large men to come in my apartment.
Your home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.